Okay, good morning. We'll ask the council to come back to order, and we'll get ready for the next item.
Item 25, authorize the Commissioner of Public Works to enter into an agreement with the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon for a term of 5 years to provide an independent review of city utility bureaus on behalf of residential ratepayers.
Commissioner Fish is going to lead off.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. I'm going to make a few brief remarks, turn it over to Commissioner Novick, then we're going to introduce our distinguished panel. We have two panels today, and then we'll have a council discussion. I want to begin this morning by just acknowledging that here in Portland, we have the best quality water of any city in the country. And the water comes from the Bull Run Watershed, which is a marvel of nature and a treasure that this community has invested in over the last 115 years. We have a Bureau of Environmental Services, which is a national leader in a movement called the Green Infrastructure Movement, which is basically harnessing nature to address our stormwater needs while saving ratepayer dollars. And today, Commissioner Novick and I are proposing an unprecedented new partnership with the Citizens Utility Board, a respected statewide advocacy group, to join us and to provide outside, independent advocacy for our residential ratepayers. The CUB has a 30-year track record of standing up for ratepayers and saving them money. And they are, as I have learned, highly respected across the spectrum. The action that we're proposing today is consistent with a commitment that this council and I have made to enhancing accountability and transparency and to stabilizing rates. I want to thank my colleague Steve Novick for first raising this idea and sharing it with me. There are very few original ideas in government. What we often do is we borrow and we steal and we advocate. And I want to give Steve credit for first championing this idea. For a very brief period of time, he was in charge of the Water Bureau. In fact, for those of you keeping track, I'm the fourth commissioner in charge in the last 13 months. But it was during his brief window that he had a fateful conversation with Mr. Jenks. And I want to say that to the question that sometimes gets raised, why bring CUB in? Why now? And the truthful answer to that is I wish we were having this conversation years ago. Because the more I've learned about CUB and the way they mobilize ratepayers and advocate for the interests of our residential ratepayers, the more I've learned about the creative ideas they bring to the table and how they help, particularly historically, our private utilities do their job better, the more I've learned, the more confident I am that they can help us do our job better. And that, after all, is our most important task. With that, I just want to acknowledge and thank Steve and turn it over to him for a few comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. Looking back through my calendar, I find that it was on March 5th that Bob Jenks came in to see me about the idea of CUB taking review of our water and sewer rates into their portfolio. And I found that a highly intriguing idea because CUB has spent, again, is it 29 years or 30 years, Bob?
This fall will be, in 2014, will be our 30th anniversary.
Okay. So nearly 30 years developing a reputation as an effective and highly professional advocate for residential ratepayers for the electric and gas utilities. And both parts of that are important, the professional part and the advocate for residential ratepayers part. The industrial and commercial big business users of electricity and gas, they and their trade associations can afford to hire lobbyists and lawyers and PR people. No individual residential ratepayer is going to do that. CUB has been their voice on the electric and gas rates. And the respected and professional part is also very important. CUB's not just a bunch of, noisy rabble-rousers. They're highly educated, professional, effective rabble-rousers. And they have gained the respect of the Public Utility Commission, They've gained the somewhat grudging respect, probably sometimes, of PacifiCorp and PGE and Northwest Natural because they're professional, they're hardworking, they're thoughtful, and they have repeatedly come up with ways for those utilities to save residential ratepayers' money. So when Bob came to me with this idea, I thought that the city and its citizens, and particularly, of course, the residential ratepayers, could only benefit by giving CUB an opportunity to review our expenditures on our rates. So I was delighted to be able to share that idea with Commissioner Fish when he took over BES and water, and I'm delighted that he's taken it and run with it and has come forward with this proposal.
Thank you, Steve. It's now my honor to introduce the first of two panels that we'll be presenting this morning. The first panel is composed of three distinguished speakers. First, Bob Jenks, who leads the CUB and is going to give us a general overview of their work and this proposed relationship. Susan Ackerman, who is the chair of the Oregon Public Utilities Commission, who is going to share with us a perspective on CUB's role statewide. And Linda Tomasi, who is the board secretary for CUB, who's going to share with us some thoughts about not only CUB's effectiveness, but its accountability to its members. Welcome, all three, and Bob, we'll turn it over to you first.
Great. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Bob Jenks. I'm the executive director of the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. I want to thank Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Novick for bringing this proposal before the City Council. I'm also a City of Portland ratepayer. On Monday, I got my sewer and water bill. And this bill represents, with the exception of my mortgage and my property taxes, this is the highest bill that I get over the course of the year. Even if we break it down and get it into a monthly bill, it would then be higher than all my other monthly bills except my mortgage and my combined internet, cable, phone bill. And that wasn't the case. When my wife and I moved into our house in Southeast Portland 20 years ago, even though this was a quarterly bill, my electric bill was higher, my natural gas bill was higher. It was a much easier bill to deal with. It was much more affordable. And it's that growth in the bills, it's the growth in these things that have caused citizens over the years to contact us on a regular basis and say, you ought to get involved in sewer and water issues. Can you take on the City of Portland? Can you do this? And we hear it from CUB members. We hear it from non-CUB members. When I was walking over here this morning, somebody stopped me in the streets to say, Bob, I just read about that in the paper. Go do it. Go look into the sewer and water rates and help us out there. So responding to those requests is where I set up that meeting. I don't have quite the same calendar record as Commissioner Novick, but I guess it was March 5th, to propose the idea that there is a way for us to actually follow up and respond to those requests from citizens. And this is what we're talking about today, responding to those requests. While it's not a perfect analogy, most of us would never go to court without an attorney on our behalf to advocate for us. You need a champion for your cause. Utility investment, utility rate making, utility contracting has a significant effect on our households, and it's a very complicated, technical place. Residential ratepayers don't have the resources to hire the lawyers and the rate analysts and the technical help they need to be able to fully participate in that activity. But they really do need that. They need that professional advocacy on their side. And that's what we're talking about today. This same bill that I got, we're talking about using this to organize ratepayers in a manner that really is an idea that goes back to the 1970s. Later on this year, when customers get a bill like this, they'll get an insert in that bill, and they can fold up that insert, and it will tell them about the work that we're doing and invite them to make a contribution. Some low-income folks may chip in $5, other people may chip in $50. But together, we can collectively pool our money and hire the kind of technical expertise and bring that to bear, and so that we're able to look at things, we're able to examine stuff, we're able to compare this to other cities and make sure that on every step of the way, we're getting the least cost results and we're getting affordability as a concern is being addressed at every step of the way. And we're ready to get started. We're ready to post a job listing for a consumer advocate to work for us on this issue by the end of the week. And we've been doing this for electric and gas utilities for almost 30 years. And in that time, we've saved customers, by our estimates, really billions of dollars. And what it really means is examining the cost of providing service from top to bottom. Most of the cost embedded in our sewer and water bills is capital spending. That means we have to get involved in the capital planning process to make sure that before we launch into things, we're doing the least cost investment and we're doing prudent investments. We need to look at how we're monitoring that. Are the right cost controls being placed on the contract and on those projects as they're made? We need to look at the forecasts for demand. We need to look at budgets. We need to look at actuals. We have to look at how the system costs are put into rates. We have to look at the customer service that's provided by the bureaus. And we intend to do all of that, and we intend to do it from a perspective of being an advocate for the customer. And I think it's important to note we're not here to try to say that be a substitute for the budget advisory committees, for the utility review board, for the city budget office. That's not our role. Our role is something in addition to that. We want to be an independent advocate for ratepayers, for residential customers. And that's a role. And we think our work and the advocacy we do will benefit all of those entities. The budget office, the Bureau Advisory Committees, the PURB, and more importantly, this council, since this council is the one who ultimately decides what our rates are going to be. I did want to address just a couple questions that have arisen since this was announced last week. The first, I guess, can best be described as a question of why would you folks listen to us? And for me, there's two reasons I think you folks will listen to us. The first is we do our homework. We try to make sure if we're going to bring a proposal, we're going to make a recommendation on a capital spending project, on the cost effectiveness of a capital spending project. We're going to do a good serious analysis. And the second reason I think is we represent customers. We're going to organize customers. We will have thousands of customers behind us. Those customers will be getting our newsletters. They'll be getting our emails. They'll be keeping informed of what's going on. And when Portlanders are informed and organized, they tend to get results. And both of those two reasons, I don't think that means that you're going to accept every recommendation we make. I assume that we will make recommendations that you folks won't look kindly on and will likely reject. But to me, what's important is that we get a fair hearing. And I do think because of our professionalism and because we're a membership-based organization, we will get a fair hearing. Finally, I want to address the challenge that somehow this is window dressing. And Northwest Natural had a recent rate case where they came in and asked for a 6.2% increase, and in the end they got a 1.2% increase. I don't think they would tell you our role in that rate case was window dressing. PacifiCorp last year gave customers a $17 million credit on their bills in 2013. I don't think PacifiCorp would say that our work in getting that credit was window dressing. I don't think PGE would say that we were window dressing when we worked to prevent PGE customers from being saddled with a $500 million capital investment on the Boardman coal plant. And so I don't think we do window dressing. It's not our intention to come here and add window dressing to the process. It's really our intention to come in here and try to make a difference. And so in short, what the proposal before you from our perspective is about organizing ratepayers, providing independent analysis and advocacy on behalf of those ratepayers, and ultimately making a difference for those ratepayers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Linda Tomasi, and it's my pleasure to serve on the Board of Directors for the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. CUB is a statewide membership organization, and the membership elects its Board of Directors. We were formed by ratepayers in 1984 by an initiative campaign for the purpose of protecting utility ratepayers, and we are controlled and funded by ratepayers and citizens. To use that word just one more time, all board members are also residential ratepayers, and we take consumer protection and oversight very seriously. CUB was approached by our members regarding Water Bureau oversight because of our 30-year track record in consumer protection and our reputation for operating with integrity and grit. The board is proud of the CUB staff for their many successes in protecting consumers around the state. Early in 2013, the staff brought to us the issue of possible independent City of Portland Water Bureau oversight. The volunteer board is the policy-making body of the organization, and we are active and engaged. After a number of discussions, our decision was unanimous to sign on to the memorandum of agreement between the city and CUB. We would like to get to work on behalf of the city's water and sewer customers, and we hope for a yes vote from you today. And if people want to start getting involved with this issue now, we welcome you to go to our website, OregonCUB.org. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we welcome Susan Ackerman. It's a great honor to have you with us today, and thank you for your thanks for sticking around.
Well, thank you, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. I'm actually honored to be here. I've never been in front of you before, so I'm happy to be here. I'm not a ratepayer. I don't live within the city limits of Portland, so I'm not a ratepayer of your system. And also, I don't think in my position as chair of the commission that it's my job to tell you what to do with this topic. What I will tell you, though, is that I've been in the industry in various capacities for almost 30 years. And one thing the Public Utility Commission does is we've got three electric utilities, three natural gas utilities, about 400 telecommunications companies of various stripes, and 80 small water companies that we regulate. And we've got a book of statutes from the Oregon legislature that's about an inch thick, single-spaced, double-sided, about the same amount of administrative rules, and then this body of law. It's a 100-year body of common law that's built up about how you apply policies and regulate rates on behalf of consumers. So in this context, we make about 4,000 decisions a year. They're not all obviously very big, impactful, or noticeable decisions, but every once in a while we get a big one, three or four a year, what I would consider really big decisions. And what's helpful when you're making decisions about utility services and utility rates is you're going to get a lot of consumers come to you and say, lower my bill. And that is important. I don't want to dissuade that, because when you've got a lot of customers coming and saying things are out of control here, that is a barometer, and you need to pay attention to that. But what's really helpful is when someone comes to you and says, don't approve this increase because, or do this instead, or yes, do that. And then there's the backup. And what you need in the backup is you really need hard data. You need to know what is in the books. What were the investment decisions? Are they cost effective? Are they necessary? Are they used for utility service? There are all these questions that need to be answered. And if you don't have the do this, don't do this because part of the public comment thing, you really don't get a lot of help. And one thing that CUB has always done for us as a utility commission is they've given us a lot of help with that answer to the question, because why. They will always tell you why. And they are a serious organization. They are a credible organization. They understand the business. And it's an amazing thing when you've got a group that is that knowledgeable and substantive, and they can be creative within the four corners of the statutes and the law and everything else that you deal with when you're trying to regulate utility services. So I am very high on CUB as a consumer advocate. I think that they will help you. I can agree with Bob that we don't always adopt everything that Bob asks us to do, but we never miss anything when CUB is at the table either. And so that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Questions from our colleagues?
Anybody? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The second panel, I'd like to invite up Jeff Bissonette and Rick Bennett. Jeff is also joined today by a special guest.
Eli's staying back there for
he's,
now.
Eli is going through the various offices, measuring the drapes for when he is a city commissioner.
Yeah, he tried out the gavel a little earlier.
Jeff Bissonette works for the CUB. He's going to talk to us a little bit today about outreach to neighborhood associations and civic groups, the role of public education, and how the CUB does its work. Rick Bennett's with AARP. And Rick, I want to thank you for the unsolicited letter I got from you when I turned 55. Mm-hmm. AARP is deeply involved in utility issues in other states. Here in Oregon, their primary contact is with CUB. And so they're here to make some comments about this unprecedented partnership that we're proposing. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, again, for the record, Jeff Bissonette with the Citizens Utility Board. Very briefly, I wanted to touch on two things. One, Bob did mention that we are going to be hiring a consumer advocate that will be focused 100% on the City of Portland water and sewer issues. The technical expertise that we achieve is because we dive deep, no pun intended, into the details. To do that, you need to put somebody's attention on it, and that person will be supported by very knowledgeable regulatory staff, including Bob, including the rest of our regulatory staff, and then by myself on the policy areas. My main comment, though, I really want to focus is that we are a membership organization. We are very focused on the grassroots, and we do pay attention to what our members say and what the public says. And we think that there's a lot of information that consumers need to be informed consumers and be able to play their role as consumers of any utility service, and in this case, water and sewer services. And so to make sure that consumers are informed, that they're getting good information, that they're getting our analysis, and frankly, if there are issues that we think need their attention and need their involvement, either by contacting the Bureau, by contacting the Commissioner in charge, or by contacting the rest of the City Council, we're going to be making sure that they get a lot of information. Again, both our current members, the new members that we hope will be joining us to fund this effort, and then the general public. And that will be done by going to neighborhood association meetings, other civic organizations, taking meetings with other groups that are stakeholders in the water and sewer services. And that is kind of our hallmark and trademark in electricity and natural gas, and will continue to be our hallmark here with water and sewer. And so with that, I think that you'll be seeing a lot of public engagement because of CUB, because that, you know, we not only play the inside sort of technical game, but we try and really translate that, those sorts of issues to in a way that people understand, and so they feel like they understand why it's these issues are important to them. And we look forward to entering into this partnership. Thank you.
Should also just note, Mayor and colleagues, that Jeff and Bob have been attending our Bureau Advisory Committee meetings, getting kind of a head start, following the issues, tracking what's being discussed. So they already come with a little bit of momentum into this new assignment. Rick, welcome.
Thank you. For the record, Rick Bennett, Director of Government Relations for AARP Oregon. AARP is a membership-based organization for those who are now 50-plus. And we have over 37 million members nationwide and over 500,000 members here in Oregon. I'm sure you're aware of the various products and services that we brand, but you should also be aware that the AARP devotes considerable time and resources to advocating on behalf of our members on a broad range of policy issues, including utilities. And indeed, we have state offices in all states, and in many states, we are the lead organization when we talk about consumers and utility issues and so forth. But that is not the case here in Oregon. When I arrived here 10 years ago and was acquainting myself to policy issues and who's involved and who the players are and so forth, I quickly determined that when we talk about utility interest and policy and the interest of consumers, the go-to organization is the Citizens Utility Board. And over time and working with CUB, they have earned my respect and my trust as far as the work they do and the information they provide. I would, quite frankly, while I have expertise in our national office that I can draw upon, when I get an inquiry through a phone call or an email related to a utility issue, my first call is to CUB and to Jeff or Bob and tell me what the facts are. What's the background? What's the timeline? What's the status? What's the impact on ratepayers? And my last question usually is, okay, good. How can we support your effort? So for myself and our organization here in Oregon, we look to the Citizens Utility Board when we talk about utility policy. The last thing I would just say is that I've looked at the contract that's under our agreement that's under consideration here quickly, but the bottom line seems to be that you're interested in developing a relationship with an independent organization, an organization that has a proven track record when it comes to advocating on behalf of consumers, that can provide you good analysis and good recommendation. And if indeed that is the case, then I can think of no better organization to establish that relationship with than the Citizens Utility Board. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here today and just speak on their behalf. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. This concludes our formal presentation, Mayor. I think some people signed up to testify.
Great. Thank you both. Unless there are any questions.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Okay, let's take public testimony then.
We have six people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Joe Walsh, Robert Peterson, and Mark J. Hoff-Hines, Jr.
Come on up.
Next three?
Yeah, maybe call a couple of the next three. Mark's here. Are you going to pass? Okay.
Oh, Sharon Maxwell, Chris Liddell.
Go ahead, Joe.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. And listening to the presentation and reading as much as I could on this issue, it said to me that the timing of this is suspect. You're going to have a challenge in two different areas. One, the trust, and the other one where you completely lose everything. And all of a sudden, an organization that has a really good reputation is brought in to bail you out. That's the way it looks. You can shake your head all you want, Commissioner. That's the way it looks. This organization cannot mandate anything. It can only recommend. And the problem here is, I think, you're just postponing stuff. You're going to get really good recommendations and do nothing. If they recommend that you do certain things and you don't do it, will you guarantee me and the rest of the people of Portland that we will have access to that denial?
Yes.
That would be good.
You'll have access to their recommendations.
Don't interrupt me, please, Commissioner. Let me finish my 3 little minutes.
Sorry, responding to your question.
Well, it was a rhetorical question, actually.
I didn't like the real answer.
Yes, I know it's difficult to have a rhetorical question with you.
Was that a rhetorical question or a question? I just want to be...
Sounded like a question.
Sounded like a question.
Here's the problem. You know, the organization has a stellar reputation, but I don't think any of you up here are capable of listening to them, because you would have done it 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 5 years ago. Why now? Why is it happening now? Can anybody answer that question, Commissioner Novick?
Yes, Mr. Walsh.
You're ready to go.
Someone who wasn't here 20 years ago might answer the question.
I can answer that. It's happening now because Mr. Jenks walked into my office on March 5th of last year with this proposal, and I suggested it to Commissioner Fish as something to follow up on when he took over the bureaus, and he decided it's a good idea, and now he's proposing it. That's why it's happening now.
Okay, one more question, then I'll shut up.
Is this a rhetorical question or a question?
No, this is a direct question.
Is that a real promise?
You can answer it if you want. Who's going to pay for all this?
They are.
Yeah, and that is also strange to me, that they would step up and say, okay, we're going to come in and we're going to take the BES and we're going to look at what they're doing, because that's where all the money is really being spent. And we're going to go in and we're going to find out all the nicks and crannies, and we're going to say, no, don't do this over here and don't do this repair like you have one today, $6 million, and you tried to slip it through the consent agenda with no discussion at all. So that is not encouraging that you're going to listen to these guys. And I'm telling you, we will watch it, and if you listen to them and you start getting this thing where we trust you, I will take you all out for a drink.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm Sharon Maxwell. Good morning, Mayor Hales, commissioners, and to Amanda Fritz in her absence. I wish her well. I'm here to let you know today that I am running for Portland City Council, position 2. Our country was founded on a system of checks and balances. Founder James Madison fought to free our republic from the tyranny of unfair tariffs from the British. The notion was a simple form of republic with representatives that enforced the interests of the people. This principle has empowered citizens for more than 200 years. Our country was founded on systems of checks and balances. And in the context of this, this proposed initiative of having a nonprofit group that nobody knows about have not been vetted by diversity or mission by our 95 neighborhoods, and it's not what our founders, in my opinion, would say represents a shared community. While I respect the proposal that Commissioner Novick has presented, this effort is a bit too late and falls short of what our city needs to reinstate the trust of citizens. All over our city, the message is clear. We need to see the will of the democratic process in context to the vote on whether we will have a public utility voted on with our citizens' oversight. I don't agree with the process of the proposed bill. It goes against citizen involvement and participation. This body was elected to represent the people's interests, not some nonprofit group that has other agendas or has not been vetted by our city's, as we've heard this morning, diversity and equity program. I agree with the PUD structure for our city. I suggest this body look at the minority evaluator program that the city voted in 2 years ago that is being used with the procurement process. This program has a win-win participation, the structure that maintains both citizen and professional participation. This current effort has been called hastily and rushed, secretive without great citizen scrutiny. As a citizen, we have the right to have full review of how this for nonprofit operates and how they can participate. I say we wait for the May 20th ballot on the PUD before suggesting any changes, and I look forward to connecting with citizens over our 95 neighborhoods over the next 5 months. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Chris Little. I'm the chair of a City Club research committee looking at water and sewer rates and governance. And with me today, I have a number of members of my committee. Our committee is comprised of 14 people with expertise in a variety of fields and has been working on this complicated topic for more than 4 months. A significant amount of effort has gone into developing the report, which is in the process of being finalized. We interviewed over 30 witnesses and conducted exhaustive independent research. I want to take a moment just to thank Commissioner Fish and his staff, particularly Dean Marriott and David Schaff, for their participation. Also want to thank their staffs for responding to all of the inquiries that we've made of them. They've been very timely. The resolution before you today was introduced less than a week ago, Thursday, if you're being generous. Even the folks on our committee who have delved deep into this study, into utility rates and governance, have not had a chance to review it in any detail. Because transparency is a major concern that we've heard from a lot of the witnesses that we've met with, and in fact, when we met with Commissioner Fish, he expressed a desire for transparency related to decisions regarding the Water Bureau and BES. We think it's only prudent for the council to provide additional time for public review and comment on the concept. You've invested time and resources into our process, and I'm asking only that you allow us time to complete our process and provide you and the public with a report that contains specific recommendations. I expect you'd want to have all of the information to make the best possible decision before you pull the trigger on any particular proposal. For context, our committee's current schedule calls for the report to be available in March. I'm not going to ask you for that much time. If you're feeling reasonable, I'll ask you for only 1 week. If you're also feeling compassionate, I'll ask you for two, and that will allow the members of our committee to actually get some sleep at night. I think it's a modest request and one that you should acknowledge and comply with.
What would happen?
Yeah,
what will
change, I guess.
Yeah,
you know. What so depending on how reasonable and or compassionate you're feeling, we'll get the report out, and what you're going to find is a series of specific recommendations that are more comprehensive than the proposal you have in front of you today. And I would just encourage you to consider those recommendations, and regardless of your decision today, we look forward to an opportunity to meet with all of you and review our report and go over those recommendations.
And right back at you, by the way, on the thoughtful way that you've engaged the community in doing your report. And my understanding is the primary charge was to look at this proposed water district and have the City Club weigh in on it. Is it your view, after hearing this presentation, that any potential further reforms that you propose in March may be incompatible with what we're proposing today?
I would correct slightly. The ballot measure is a component of our charge. The broader charge is looking at both rates and governance. Rates and governance. What I would say in response to your question is that the recommendations you'll find are not incompatible with CUB, but will help you make a more informed decision about the role that CUB might play.
Well, I really, you know, I heard this request a few days ago. I really respect the City Club process, but I guess I want to probe a little more into that question. You know, the CUB is an independent organization who, in effect, is being invited to do their work here. They've been doing their work for a long time on a lot of other utilities, not city utilities. That may not be all the reform you recommend, but is it in any way going to stymie the reform that you recommend? In other words, this may be an incomplete solution to the problem of independent oversight of utility rate making. But as somebody who spent a lot of time last year bearing down on the costs in these bureaus and coming to the council with a budget proposal that held those rates to a lower level of increase than a lot of people expected, and who wants to do that again, I'd like all the help we can get from independent, well-informed reviewers, whether it's the City Club or CUB. So my attitude is anyone who y'all come, anybody who's got the rigor and time to look at the details of where the costs come from in these bureaus and to make recommendations to me and the rest of the City Council, I'm all ears. So in what way, again, this might be incomplete, but is it incompatible with what you're going to recommend?
So I believe your question is very similar to the question the Commissioner Fish asked.
I'm just trying to understand why, if we're not going far enough, we're still free to go farther.
Yes, and I'm not suggesting that you won't or that you shouldn't. All I'm suggesting is that you wait 1 week and make a more informed decision.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Other people want to cross-examine this perfectly capable citizen volunteer who's asking us for something otherwise reasonable.
No, I'll just comment, Mayor, that having I compliment the City Club and the thoroughness with which they've been going through this process. We've spent lots of hours with our team. They've asked for documents, then come back for more document requests. And in March, we're looking forward to having a big conversation about your recommendations. I sort of just want to align myself with what the mayor said. The action we're taking today is to me, part of a long-term strategy of how we do a better job managing our utilities. And one of the things that I learned after the mayor gave me these assignments. Took me about a week to recover from the shock of his announcement, and then we got to work. But one of the things I learned early on is that there are a lot of people who are organized and speak for different constituencies within our ratepayers. The wholesale customers have organizations and advocates. The large water district users are organized and have advocates. The hole in the donut that I observed was our residential ratepayers, and they are by far, overwhelmingly, our largest customer. And they didn't have the same advocate. And based on the suggestion that the CUB is out there having done this terrific job on behalf of ratepayers statewide, and this really bold idea that for the first time to invite them to play that same role with a public utility, I thought it was inspired. And my own view is, why wait? We should launch this, and then we should fully engage your recommendations when they're cooked and give you another chance. The last time you had a report of note, you came to council and you presented part of it, and we hope you'll do that with this and engage us. But I think the time to act is now. And again, my only regret, frankly, on the CUB is we didn't do this a lot earlier.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much.
15 years ago.
Okay. Well, I wasn't on the council 15 years ago, but
thank you for the opportunity.
Kelly Barnes, and unless Robert Peterson is here, that's all who signed up.
Okay, come on up.
Kelly's a newest member of our Bureau Advisory Committee, and she is was a leader in the fight opposed to fluoride. But out of that campaign and consultations with the bureaus, we made a judgment she'd be a terrific addition to our Bureau advisory process. And frankly, Mayor, she's one of a number of people who have historically been skeptical or critical of the way we do work, who we invited onto our Bureau advisory committees to get the benefit of their involvement and expertise. And I see emails that she sends on a regular basis, and I'm grateful for the amount of commitment she's made to this task.
Thank you. I would like to say I'm here representing myself as an individual, not the views of Clean Water Portland or Clean Water Oregon. I have been honored to serve as a community member for the Portland Water Bureau Budget Advisory Committee. It's been quite a learning process, and I don't like to do things halfway, and I'm still in the process of educating myself. The reason I'm speaking today, I'm not prepared to speak. I found out about the CUB last night at about 12:30, jotted down a few notes, and I'm actually signed up as a communication speaking slot in February, and I have a 4-page report for the council that I worked on this weekend to offer my impressions as a community member, even though I am a novice in this department of understanding. So my biggest recommendation that I will offer is I see value in a community advisement capacity beyond that of the budget process, because surely a lot of the issues that the Bureau faces in fiscal spending also overlay with policy, you know, such as different departments of selling property, compliance issues, et cetera. And I do, at a glance, support the concept of the CUB being part of this process. I don't know a great deal about them. I haven't researched their track record. They have a lot of history, but I can't say yes or no to that as an individual right now. I'm here more speaking for the process to citizens to be involved, and I understand that this was kept undercover, and I appreciate that our lens is that as a budget advisory capacity does not extend to a CUB decision. And yet, I read the article with surprise as a community member on the Portland Water Bureau Advisement Committee. So I've met with different departments throughout the city, including the city auditor's department. David Shapt has been kind enough to let me review asset management documents. I've looked at control of span studies. I'm really trying to extend my knowledge so I can make an informed decision. I will say, as community members, we are limited in our scope and our expertise. And at the end of the day, we need to rely on the data and some of the experience from the team, including the engineering team. I have found the management team to be incredibly transparent and to answer all of my even most basic of questions. And if you talk to anybody on the committee, I ask quite a few of them, and I like to follow up on the research. So I don't really have an opinion today. I can appreciate also, as a member, participating on another City Club study for dental health alternatives to community water fluoridation. I've just begun that process. It's a 6 to 8 month process. It does take a lot of time and expertise to interview and write reports. I can appreciate the recommendation here today to perhaps extend it by a week. But I do think this conversation is important. And I will say one last piece. When it comes to the rates, I fully expected that Portland Water Bureau may not have done a good job historically. And what I've learned through the process, and I've been very surprised as I educate myself, is that some of the rate increases are due to things even outside of our control, such as compliance. So I actually fall somewhere in the middle of what you might expect as a citizen advocate. And I have appreciated the transparency thus far. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your involvement. Thank you. Anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
I had a couple questions. Mm-hmm. I guess I'd like to ask Ben Walters and Bob Jenks to come up. So I guess the thought that's kind of running through my mind is, and I know, Ben, since you often represent us in court on issues related to utilities and franchise, are there positions where CUB and the City of Portland have been at odds on legislative issues that you can think of? Franchise fees?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, we have been parties in rate cases simultaneously. For the record, Ben Walters, Portland City Attorney's Office.
Parties where we've intervened.
Yes.
And CUBs intervened.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. To the extent that are you getting at, is there a conflict in?
What's running through my mind, is there a conflict that where we could find ourselves on the opposite end of a question and you know, we're providing a city resource to Cub to raise money with through our billing statements. So are we helping to raise money for an organization that, you know, I think Cub's a great organization, but I could also see situations where it might look a little funny that we're helping fund an organization that on the one hand is opposing us and something we're trying to get done in Salem, or that's the thought that's running through my mind.
I could see the concern. Nothing comes to mind where we've been at odds in the legislature on a particular item. More often than not, say for example, in terms of energy conservation, energy efficiency, we tend to be in alignment on policy choices. To my recollection,
that's what I would assume. But I guess I was just
and for the most part, the information that will be provided to them, you know, they're going to be asking questions and we'll be assembling information. But that information is generally available publicly. Okay. They may just be digging a little deeper and going in some different directions than we might have otherwise thought to go. And that's part of my understanding of why they're being welcomed in. And then I guess on the other side of the equation, they have been adamant from the beginning, as far as I'm aware, about their wanting to maintain their independence and not accept any city resources in support of this work.
Right.
And that they want to maintain their independence as a member-supported organization in the same way that when they're going in and advocating in front of the PUC, they're not taking resources from the utilities, which then would potentially raise questions about, you know, who is it exactly that is the master that's being served. And so they wanted to maintain the integrity of that approach in this instance.
That's you've answered my question sufficiently. I don't know, Bob. I guess I wanted to ask you, because I haven't had you to have the same statement been made.
I know of no place where we and the city have taken different policy positions. It would be primarily on energy issues where we overlap in Salem, and I cannot think of a single case where we've done that. In PUC rate proceedings, you folks often intervene as a customer of Portland General Electric, and you're not a resident. You don't intervene as a residential customer. You intervene as a commercial or industrial customer. But I think in almost all those cases, we've managed to settle those issues and settle the rate spread and rate design in a ways that I think all of us have come out happy with. So I can't, even there where we're representing different interests, I can't think of a case where we've really gotten into any kind of conflict or disagreement that's had to go before the commission.
Under this new role, do you envision Cub reporting to the council during our meetings when we review the rates of the utility bureaus? Is that how we would have your information?
I believe yes, we would come in and let you know what we think at that point. Hopefully it's not coming down and turning around a recommendation at the end is always the most difficult part. So we'd like to work with the Bureau to begin with at the front end, work with the Bureau Advisory Committees, work with the City Budget Office. So essentially what we'll be doing is our own independent analysis. We'll be making recommendations, and we'll make those recommendations to whoever will listen to us. But it would start with the Bureau itself, because if the Bureau can internalize those, if you come up with a better starting point that already contains most of our recommendations, it doesn't necessarily make as big a political victory of we've turned and we've beaten the Bureau on this, but it's, I think it's more effective and builds a better relationship. So,
yeah, I absolutely agree. But I just, so you will at a minimum, though, check in with us when we do our rate reviews of the utility bureaus.
Yes.
Just like we have the PURB check in with us, Cub will check in with us at that time as well.
Yes. Okay. If you will let us speak, we will come speak to you.
Well, okay. And let me go a little bit beyond that, because I think Dan raises a great point. This is not intended to play an advisory advocacy role just with the commissioner in charge. This is designed to help the council as a whole make better decisions. So there will be we're committing in this agreement to making sure that their recommendations and their concerns are shared widely and become part of our decision making. And Dan, keep your eye on that. And if there are specific ways you want us to institutionalize that are helpful to you as a decision maker, we're obviously very interested.
Thank you.
One question for Bob before we move forward. My understanding is this would be the first time that you've taken your role and your expertise and applied it to a public utility. Is that correct?
Generally, yes. I mean, we have worked with public utilities, public electric utilities, on energy policy, on their formation, and a variety of things like that, but we don't tend to intervene on their sort of rate-making process. So
this is the first time you served as a sort of a ratepayer watchdog.
Exactly, yes.
For a public utility.
Yes.
And if this is successful, might this migrate to other cities and jurisdictions?
I can't tell you, but it's possible. If there's other jurisdictions that would like a sort of similar approach, if there's other citizens in other sort of water districts or electric districts or whatever that would like us to come in, we're always willing to talk about that kind of role. But I'm not always the best person at predicting the future.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Further questions or discussion? Then we'll take a roll call on the resolution.
Fish?
Well, first of all, I would like to thank Bob Jenks and his team at the Cub, and everyone who took time out today to come testify about this important issue. And most especially, I want to thank my colleague Steve Novick for first suggesting that we go down this path. Mayor, when you asked me to lead both the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Portland Water Bureau, and I was the first commissioner to have both since Commissioner Saltzman. He was the last commissioner that had them unified under one office. We talked a little bit about what our goals were over the next year. We made a commitment to very high levels of accountability and transparency. We made a commitment to dig deep in the rate making and stabilize rates. And we also made a commitment to doing business differently. And there's a number of things that we've done in the last 6 months which I think have supported those markers we put down. I and my team have reached out to a lot of our customers, big and small, and we've engaged them in how are we doing and how can we do our work better. I was asked to come to council with a council informal to talk about our five-year CIPs. And even Commissioner Saltzman, who's a student of these things, said afterwards, it was among the clearest presentations he had seen. And one thing that was different was it was apples to apples. We had both bureaus present the same information in a coordinated way so the council could see them holistically. And I think that was part of, I guess, Charlie, what you envisioned when you said one commissioner, two bureaus, and then start thinking of them as our utilities, not just the two separate utilities. We have taken a number of other actions, and we are in the process of reviewing proposed rate increases with the clear understanding that the council wants for a second straight year to keep any rate increases below 5%, well below the forecast in a second year in a row. We have a lot more work to do, but I think today is a very important milestone because we are, for the first time, inviting a highly respected statewide consumer watchdog group for residential ratepayers to come in and to help us do our work better. And I can't think of anything that speaks more loudly to transparency and accountability. And we have moved expeditiously. The first two instructions I gave when I took over the bureaus were, one was to put the Waterhouse on the market, and two was to set up a meeting with Bob Jenks. And that meeting led to a conversation which has now produced this agreement, which is a landmark agreement. Now, I appreciate our friends at the City Club who've come and said, you know, delay, give us some more time. And as I've thought about it and had some other conversations, what I've ultimately concluded is we can do both. We can move forward today to bring the Cub in and get as much value as possible in this budget cycle. And we can also take whatever recommendations the City Club brings and they have a tradition of making very thoughtful recommendations and fully engage them and make sure they're aired and discussed in this room. And so I believe we can have the benefit of both, and that's why I would prefer to move forward. But let's be clear. The Cub, under this arrangement, will report to its members. And the Cub is going to call it as they see it. And we may or may disagree with the CUB, but under this agreement, we have committed to giving them a platform to tell us here and in every other forum their views on how to keep rates down and do our business better. And after all, I think we owe that to our ratepayers. Today's a proud day, and again, I want to thank Steve for having the original idea. I want to thank Sonia Schmansky on my team, Jim Blackwood. I want to thank, Steve, the people on your team, your chief of staff and others who have been such a pleasure to work with. I think this is an example of how this body works in a collaborative way to get things done. I think this is an important decision, and this decision will not be, we will not look in 6 months or a year to determine whether this is successful. This is a decision that will help us over the next generation maintain good stewardship of our utilities, and we owe that to a community that can look back proudly over the last 100 years of excellent stewardship of our utilities. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate bringing this proposal forward. I think CUB will be a very constructive influence in our rate-making processes, and I appreciate the City Club, what they're doing, too, and I guess I'd rather not have you hurry your product by setting a one-week or a two-week deadline. I'd rather have you take the time and do it right, and it will still have impact, I'm sure, if I know the quality of work, City Club. So I think, you know, take your time, give us your report when it's ready, and if it's got good stuff in it, then I have no doubt this council will act in the best interests of its citizens. And so, again, thanks to Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Novick for this idea. Please to support it. Aye.
Novick?
I want to thank Bob Jenks for his work over the last 29 years and for walking into my office last March 5th. I was so excited about his idea as soon as he mentioned it that I immediately blabbed it to the Business Journal that was interviewing me on something else the next day. And I noticed they had a blog post about it sometime in the last March. You know, there's a corporate alliance out there that is pushing the idea that if you're concerned about your water and sewer rates, you should turn over control of the Water Bureau and BES to a group of as-yet-unidentified amateur politicians. And I've had a hard time figuring out how that's supposed to reassure people, how people are going to say, wow, if you can't trust a group of unidentified amateur politicians, who can you trust? But I think it'll be very reassuring for the people of Portland, the residential ratepayers, to know that an organization with a 29-year history of success in casting a critical eye on electric and gas rates is turning that same critical eye and bringing that same professionalism to looking at the expenditures and the rates of BES and the Water Bureau. You know, Ernie Banks, known as Mr. Cub, once famously said, "It's a beautiful day for a ball game. Let's play two." Well, it's a beautiful day to pass good, solid, constructive legislation. And I wish we could vote for it twice, but I guess that's not within the rules. So I'll say it just once. I vote aye.
Hales.
Well, first, I think this is a smart and bold proposal, and I appreciate our two colleagues putting it together and putting it before us and working with CUB to make it a real proposition. Very important to note here, again, I think it hasn't been unclear in this hearing, but it should be very clear to everyone involved. We're going to open a window into our utility rate-making process for a completely independent group that's not going to get a dime of city money to look at what we do and how we do it. That's what we're about here, and that's the right thing to do. Although when I first heard the City Club's concern about their research, I was troubled by it and thought we should wait. Now I'm persuaded that actually we should do both. That is, we should have this kind of careful hearing and understanding of the City Club's recommendations when they are fully prepared. We've had a recent tradition of inviting in panels from the City Club to make presentations when important research products were completed. I'd like to do that in this case, actually, with a time-certain presentation to the City Council, because if there's, again, if there's anything more germane to the work of this council than independent groups like CUB or the City Club looking at what we do on something as expensive and as important as utility rates, I don't know what it is. So y'all come. One of my mentors in public life was a guy who spent some time on the City Council named Mike Lindberg, and one of his phrases that he uses all the time is the facts are friendly. So I believe that and look forward to having other eyes on the facts, CUB's now and city clubs soon and again and on other topics in the future. So this is a good move in the right direction, the beginning of a process this year where, as Commissioner Fish said, we have a goal of holding rates down and ideas for how to do that and ideas for how to improve the trust of our citizens in how we operate are all going to be very helpful to us as a city. Thank you. Aye. Good work.